Welcome to Jesus-Centric Life. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh. And today we're talking about spiritual formation in the age of distraction. I just want it noted, I said that well. I didn't get my words mixed up or garbled.
And this is the first time we recorded it, too. We didn't go back and delete it. So, yes, let's celebrate that.
Look at that. I'm a big girl. We want to kick off looking at Hebrews 12:2, and yeah. I'm going to read that. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, that one says, looking at to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I like the version that says, fix our eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Locked in.
Yep.
Right?
Mm, that's easy to do in this world, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Not. How does that, what should that look like practically in the world today to fix our eyes on Jesus, lock in on Jesus?
I think we're looking at him over ourselves, over the people around us, over our thoughts and feelings, over the distractions, over our worry about work, worry about our kids, stress about our spouse, what we're supposed to like look to him over those things, over all the things that could distract us. And if we're honest, most of us aren't spending most of our time looking or thinking about Jesus. We're spending our time looking and thinking at everything else, right? And I think that it's pretty clear and pretty commanding and demanding, and all of us fall short of that like every single day. But yeah, it's pretty clear looking to Jesus.
Fix those eyes on him, right? I remember I worked at summer camp and we had high elements, which meant we had to climb up a rope. We were on a safety harness and we would do some pretty crazy things, jump out on, we'd stand on top of a telephone pole and jump out to a trapeze in front of us. All of it was to build leadership, teamwork, all those things. But one of the things that they would say is if we had to walk across like a cable, they would say you got to lock in on what's ahead of you.
Yep.
Don't lose your focus. Don't look down. Don't look to the sides because that's going to make you fall. Mm. But lock in on a point of what's in front of you and keep moving forward. Mm. Why do we not do that in today's world? Why do we let so much of the distractions in? Like, we know it's not good, but why do we still do it?
Well, I think, because kind of to operate and survive, I do have to focus on things. Like, if I don't focus on my job, I'm not going to do a good job. Mm. If I don't focus on my parenting, if I don't focus on my spouse, if I don't focus on my friends, if I don't like that these other things do need our focus. Like,
right.
And sometimes by focusing on them, we are able to make them better. Mm. Right. Like you have improved your marriage maybe because you went to counseling or you worked on it. You have gotten better at being a parent because you've talked to people about how you can be a better parent. Like, and so to just say, like, don't do anything and just look at Jesus, like, it doesn't really work, right? And so I think just the nature of being a human being, I have to work on things.
Yeah.
And I have to improve.
Yeah.
And my thriving depends on it, right? And I think that's the struggle we have is that, but yet in the midst of that, we're called to focus on Jesus, fix our eyes on him. And so how do we walk that balance of caring, not fearing, like we're not called to fear, not worrying, but focusing enough on the things that do matter around us.
Yeah.
Right? Like we are called to do that, right?
So the title, Spiritual Formation in an Age of Distraction. I have ADD.
I had no idea.
Diagnosed
ADD. Thanks for telling
me that. Yeah, right. And so distraction is something I have to fight against a lot because I can be easily distracted unless I'm super locked in, that hyper focus, right? But what do you feel like in our daily life are the different kinds of noises or distractions that fills our space or fills the space of most people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different for everybody. We name some of them. It's the good things we get to do. It's the things we're worried about might happen, those fears and stresses that this might happen or that might happen. It's the noise of the economy, the noise of politics, the noise of shootings that happen around us that fills our newsfeed, of wars. Like, so there's the micro level, right, of what's going on with me and what I can change and what I'm worried about. And I think that just adds to a lot of noise. It's the noise of the media who get you to watch by being negative, right? Like, you're going to stop and click on something that's negative. You might not click on something that's positive, right? Like, it's that, all that adds to this noise and chaos around us. But it's, yeah, so lots of things.
So when you're saying that, I'm thinking, okay, it's the actual, like you said, the news, which can trigger fear,
yep,
which can trigger anxiety, mm-hmm, which can really get me spun up.
Yeah.
School shootings, that's something that can really get me spun up because I'm very passionate, right, for mm-hmm students and life and all those things. So I can justify it. I can make it good. But how do I set those things aside?
Yeah.
To fix my eyes, because I can have my eyes fixed, and then that can just smack me like a 2
yeah
by 4.
And so I think that's like what all of this kind of spiritual disciplines we talk about. So like, I think your Sabbath can help with that. Last week we talked about, you know, memorizing scripture, that can help with that. You know, reading your Bible and prayer and being in worship. But I guess the other one we want to introduce and kind of use all this conversation to kind of lead up to this point, it's to do the opposite. To do the opposite. So if there's all this noise around us, how do we value silence?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Right. It's hard. Oh, it's
that's
hard.
A really
it's hard
one
for me too. And it's been something over the last years I've been trying to grow in. But silence. But the thing I guess I would start out with silence that I think we have to understand is a lot of times silence in the world is block everything else out so you can be with yourself. And that, for me, I don't want to be with myself.
Mm.
Like, I'll be honest, I'd rather not spend more time with myself and my thoughts and my feelings. Mm. Right?
That is an introvert,
right,
too.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I love to distract my, like, it's why my cell phone is so nice sometimes, is because I can distract myself from what I'm thinking and feeling to, you know, scroll or, you know, play a silly game on my phone or whatever it is, listen to a podcast. But like, when I say silence, it's working to kind of push everything else out so that you can just be with God. And this is different than reading his word. I think reading his word is valuable, but it's just to be with God, because if God, you know, created himself in our image, if we were created in God's image, then there's a sense that God is built for relationship and relationship with us. And so how do I, right? What's the process of me kind of pushing everything out so I might have this time just with God? And we see Jesus doing this, right, in the Bible. Jesus went away by himself, and it usually says to pray. And I think prayer is correct, but it's not prayer in that I'm doing a scripted prayer or I'm just asking for what I need and telling God what, but it's rather right. I'm telling God, like, this is what I'm struggling with. Like, can you remind me you're with me? Can you just be with me in the midst of this? It's bringing, you know, your burdens to him, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. It's just talking to him about what's going on, right? That's what I think silence is more than. And so it is prayer, but it's more than prayer, because it's not just asking for things. It's kind of telling him what's going on and letting him stir your mind sometimes to remember Bible verses in that moment. I find that sometimes and my strive is about 4 minutes a day, 2 minutes before a devotion, 2 minutes after. That's kind of what I have started doing. That's about as long as I can go. I wish it was an hour, but it's not for me. But it's 2 minutes before and after my devotions. And what are you stirring in me? What am I? I'm telling you what's going on in my life. I'm kind of having a conversation with you. And that's kind of what silence is for me.
So to kind of challenge it a little bit.
Yeah.
If it's true silence, is it just a being quiet at the feet of the master? Like, I'm not really talking to him. I'm just, I'm just being present and allowing him to speak into me.
So maybe so. If you can do that, great. But I find that my mind starts spinning. Mm. And so I haven't been able to stop that. Mm-hmm. When I'm quiet and not doing anything, my mind starts going a million miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So I've chosen to, instead of fighting that and say, I've got to be quiet. I've chose to, and I forget who I learned that from, but I've chosen to just take, you know, if I'm thinking about this, why don't I tell God about it, as opposed to just, well, my mind's wandering, and then I feel guilty that my mind's wandering. Mm. So I just choose to kind of tell God about it. And not, I think the difference for me in prayer is that I'm not asking for anything from him at that moment. It's just me simply telling him what's going on. God, I'm not asking you to fix this anxiety
okay.
I have.
Okay.
But I'm, and I will at other times, but I'm just telling him what's going on. It's that silence before God with whatever's going on.
And because God, yourself.
Yeah, because God, the reality is God loves me in the midst of that. He loves me in the midst of my stress and anxiety that he tells me I'm not supposed to have, right? Like, he's still with me in that. And so just to allow him to be a part of that, I think can be helpful. And there's times where I can be quieter and just, God, what do you want to tell me today? Like, I think that's probably the better way. But if your mind just starts spinning, just, you know, tell him why.
I love what you're saying, and I'm sold out. I've heard about this before, read about it, done it myself. But the thing that keeps coming to my mind is to fully set aside the distractions of this world. I've got my iWatch on right now. My phone's sitting there. I have a computer open in front of me. We have another computer that we're recording off of. Emails are coming in as we're, you know, to really set aside that quiet time means to put all of those things aside.
Yeah.
And it seems like our culture is working so counter this concept.
Yeah. So I think space and place are really important. Space and place. Like, and we see that in the Old Testament, right? God didn't just say, hey, I'm with you. He said, here's a space and a place. I'm with you, the tabernacle. We have space and place at church, right? That we, you know, and for us, it's a gym during the week. And then, you know, and then it's a space and place where we focus on God.
Right.
And so what is your space and place in your home that you can do this at? So my best place for quiet time, and I have a certain chair in my office that I sit down at. I put my watch, my phone away from me. I maybe have coffee in my hand, and then I sit there, right? The space and the place, I think, are very valuable.
Right.
Right. And so I think, like, begin to create that and put the distractions away for me, it's 2 minutes before, 2 minute devotion, then 2 minutes after. Like, can you do that for 6 minutes?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you find a space and a place to do that in? And that's, you know, put the cell phone in your trunk right when you get to work and get back in your car and sit there. So in Psalms 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. And I love it. Be still. Be still in your mind, in your heart, and know that I'm God. And so again, yeah, the best is when we can just say, God, I'm God, what do you want to say to me today? But I think the second best is to tell him what's on your mind instead of feeling bad about not focusing on him or worrying or whatever it is, to just say, God, this is what's going on. But again, I think your place and your space that you set up for yourself are important here.
Do you feel like it's almost like a worship experience? Like, in that moment, can we call out the truths of God? You are mighty. You are healer. You are Father. You are.
Yeah, I think that's the other place. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's unique from worship because it's you and God and not us and God. I think worship is always us and God. It's not me and Jesus, but I think there is a space for some of these spiritual disciplines are me and God. And I think this is one.
So spiritual formation doesn't happen overnight. Like, all these things that we're talking about, we don't want to get so locked into a practice
yeah.
that we forget we're going to fall short this side of heaven, but these are some things that can build and grow your relationship yeah. with God.
Yeah.
Don't get into a legalistic pattern of I have to yeah. or I'm falling short.
Yeah, I love Matthew 11, 28 to 29 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, mm-hmm. and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Right? So if you find yourself saying, well, they said this and memorize scripture and do this and do that and do the other thing, like my guess is you're going to be wearied and burdened by all the tasks that you have to do to be a good Christian. And I think what I want for you is to say, I get to do this. Not that I have to. I think mm-hmm. once we start saying, and oh, I didn't read my Bible today, I didn't take my quiet time, I didn't, like, just stop. Like when you feel yourself doing that, just say, stop, say, hey, I get to do this. I get to approach God in this way. I get to do this. And I think just that little change will make a big difference. And then I would say for you, like we're talking about these because some of you are already practicing them.
Right.
So if you're practicing them, you can improve and learn some new things from us. But the other one is some of you aren't doing any of the spiritual disciplines. Well, like take one, work on it for a while and learn the others. Yeah, they're valuable, but really like which one are you going to work on for the next 6 months?
Yeah.
Because they're kind of, they're not, one of these is not the only way you connect with God and you have to do this, but we should develop these rhythms that we're doing some of them. And so if the quiet time, if that appeals to you, then, you know, listen to this again and how can you put some of it in practice? But this isn't you have to do all these things to be a good Christian.
Yeah.
Or you have to do all these things in order you can rest in Jesus' grace. And if you're not feeling filled up, it's because you're not resting in God's grace. Like, that's not what we're saying.
Right.
Or rather, I think it's this free invitation that God gives to understand Him a little more, to rest a little more deeply in Him. And so if you learn a few things to do a few things, praise be to God. If you can't do silence, like maybe it's not in this season, in the cards for this season for you. Don't feel guilty about it. Like if you're like, nope, I don't have that time. I don't know that I can do that. Great.
Yeah.
This may come back in your mind 5 years down the road and it might be right for you then. So don't feel that guilt about not doing it, but rather like, these are ways you can connect with God. Let's try.
Yeah, because like you said, I like how you said that. Some things are really going to work. They're going to click. They're going to help you in that season to grow closer to God. Yeah. And some may not, but they may later on down the road.
Yeah.
But it's really just showing up and living in those, but not letting them be this weight around your neck.
Yeah, Psalm 26:1, truly my soul finds rest in God, my salvation comes from Him. Like if you find these things being a burden and not restful, like I think that's a sign that you got to recalibrate your brain.
Yeah.
Like you got to recalibrate your mind, like that maybe you got to try something different, right? That you've got to, you know, how do I get to rest in God, not have to rest in God? How am I invited to do this? And what gives me joy to accept that invitation? I think joy is like your focus of joy is so important here, right? If this one doesn't give you joy and it just stresses you out, like which one would give you joy? Maybe for you, it's memorizing scripture. And I think the more that you start doing one, the more accessible another one will be.
Right.
But find one that works for you. And so if this one resonates with you today, great. Go try it with the joy of Jesus. If it doesn't, then, you know, maybe you'll come back to it 5 years down the road. And that's okay. But that truly, my soul rests in God. Like we want your soul to rest in God.
Yeah. And I think in our world today, right now, we could use a lot of that resting in Jesus. Like even as you're reading these verses, I'm like, oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
I need that peace. I need that joy. I need those things. And it's so counter this world. This world almost, I feel, especially with social media, and we talk a ton about this, but it's almost like the world wants us to be spun up.
Yeah.
I was in line yesterday at Chick-fil-A, and there was a gal behind me. I couldn't go anywhere. She was losing her mind. I had a car in front of me. There was nothing I could do. She's honking. She's losing her mind because she'd already gotten her food, and she wanted out of the line. Mm. Well, it's a drive-thru. There's nothing we can do right now. And did she need some peace? Absolutely. Yeah. Did she need to pull away from this world and whatever? Yeah. And when she saw the car in front of me pull, I was watching my, or pull forward, I was watching my rearview mirror. You could see her like, oh.
Yeah.
And, but it's not with our world to just be with God.
Yeah. And I think my danger always, or my, and I think you brought a great question, but my worryness with these spiritual disciplines like that is what Satan does is twist them into like our value, right? He makes our rest our value. He comes to us and says, well, the reason that you're so stressed is because you're not resting in God. If you just rest, and I think that's from Satan. Like Jesus, Jesus invites us without blame, without pressure, without fear, without, I think sometimes we like fear as Christians that, well, I'm not having my quiet time, so I'm missing out on something, right? Like that's even a twisting of Satan. As Jesus says, truly my soul rests in, or the psalmist says, truly my soul finds rest in God. Like don't let these spiritual disciplines become another stressor in your life, another anxiety, another heavy thing.
Right.
Rather, they're a free invitation from God to find the peace that he gives to you.
Right, but also don't get caught up in what the world's dishing out.
Yes.
Because that's a huge lie.
Correct.
Just breathe and sit at the feet of the master and trust that his provision, however it be, will be enough.
Yeah, yeah, amen, amen. And these will get you in those positions that what we do is we, because the reality is you won't have time to do these spiritual disciplines unless you can say no to the world. And so that's why I think what we're saying fits really well in. Like when you say no to a stressor you have in the world, right? Like even, okay, so that situation, right? Like let's just take that one, the situation she's in. Maybe you're in that situation. You're in a hurry. You can't go anywhere. What if you just stopped and said, well, I guess I'm stuck here. God, I got a minute. Do you got a minute? Right? Like what if that simple move in our mind, like today, instead of flying around on the interstate, passing everybody, getting through as quick as I can, I'm just going to accept the fact that there's traffic today. I'm going to be a little late for work.
Yeah. And I'm going to use this time.
And I'm going to use that. Jesus, do you got a minute? I do. Like, what if like that simple heart change to see that, oh, I get to rest in God today. Thank you, God, for slowing me down sitting in this line today. I get to rest in you.
So when you're in traffic, maybe the way to approach is, Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus. Yeah, but don't actually take your hands off the wheel unless maybe if you got a good enough Tesla, like, but you know, but don't take your hands off the wheel. Yeah.
It was a really good conversation, Pastor, and great reminders. And I love the practicality, like to start viewing times when we're in, when we could pick being distracted, to choose that maybe God's giving me this opportunity to just be with him, no matter what it is, and to make the most of that.
Yeah.
And I also like your tip to set the phone and the watch and everything in another room or aside or whatever, so we can really fix our eyes on him.
Yeah.
Great reminder, great conversation. We look forward to seeing you in our next episode and having more conversations like this on Jesus-centric leader, Jesus-centric life.
Oh, I see you were bragging.
I know. Have a great day.